and welcome to episode 231 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, and he's feeling a bit poorly, so we're going to make him feel better today. Yeah. It's Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And everyone's favourite, Tony. Well, actually,
Tony Hart.
Soprano. So basically, he's a Tony. It's Tony Esmond.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah.
Good. Right. Yeah, good.
I mean, Dan's obviously a little bit under the weather. We thought we'd say that straight at the beginning.
Yeah, he's been poorly, isn't he?
Yeah.
Soldier on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Can't let excuses like that get in front.
Soldier, aren't you?
Yeah.
brave little soldier.
So, apart from Dan obviously feeling unwell, it's just the three of us this week.
Yeah.
No guests. I mean, a lot of the shows leading up to Christmas. We've got one more guest in the next couple of weeks, and at the end of the year show, we're going to have a couple on.
Next week's my pal, isn't it? We got on.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Which we'll announce in a couple of days.
Yep.
So you're just going to have to stick with us all the way up to Christmas. How does that make you feel, folks?
Good. I like Christmas. You don't like Christmas, do you, Vince? You hate Christmas. I quite like it.
What do you mean I hate Christmas?
You told me you hate Christmas.
No, I don't hate Christmas. I hate everything.
Yeah, but Christmas.
But Christmas.
You won't hate me on Saturday.
Yeah, what's happening on Saturday?
It's already happened.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll say it from the get-go, even though we're recording this early, if you're discovering this show because you picked up a card at BAM Comic Art and Zine Fair this past Saturday and you talked to me and Tony, hello.
Yeah. Welcome. And we apologise.
And hopefully we've caught up with I know there's a few people we know that are going, have gone. Anyway, we'll do a proper rundown of that little show, which is in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Soon enough, probably on the next show, we'll probably do a little bit.
I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
Yeah.
Nice one, yeah.
Well, you saw everyone, Tony.
Yeah, it was great seeing everyone. Yeah. And Joe was brilliant. What a laugh.
Star.
Joe's always brilliant.
She better be there now, because she's always let me down. I was always saying she'll be there. I never see her.
But anyway, she doesn't listen to this show.
Who does?
Fair play.
Yeah, exactly. Does anyone listen to this show? Does it matter? All the matters that I talk to you guys.
We'll keep doing it. When nobody listens, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
You at least listen back to it once, Vince, to check it's okay.
Yeah, so that's one listen.
That's one in the column.
Yeah. I always listen to see if there's any outtakes.
Is that the only thing you listen for?
No, I just listen to bits with you on.
The spin forward all the bits when you talk.
Or the guests or anything. I just want to hear Vince. Although last week, very smooth listening.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much to last week's guest, Cliff Cumber.
Yeah, that was great.
He sent me a special drawing the following day.
He did indeed.
Of the guest hosts.
Yeah. That hasn't been posted on social media, has it?
It hasn't. I was a bit curious as to whether I should, because it's a little bit, making me feel a little bit sick.
What we'll do, if you want to see the picture that we're talking about based on last week's show, in the Facebook, in the Awesome Comics Talk thread that we'll have of this episode, if you ask for it, it will happen.
We'll do it. It will be yours.
Yeah.
But it's let's just say there's a Frenchman and an Englishman in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you put
like a spoiler image up so it comes up blurred and people have to click on it if they want to see it?
Oh, you can do that, can't you?
Yeah, maybe you can do that.
I don't know how to do things like that, but I can figure it out.
Yeah, Dan's the techie one of the show. He'll have to figure out how to do all that. We're not very technologically minded on this show.
Nope.
Yeah, but you know what? Who is quite technologically? I can't even say the fucking word. But our sponsors are Comic House.
Comic House.
Yeah. Yes, they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. And they're technological because they have an app. But also on their website, there's a huge selection of titles. Lots of people put their books up there and start selling hard copies. If you self-published, you list it on there for free and start selling straight away. Mm. Like I just said, there's an app.
Yeah.
Which is
you
brilliant.
Should get your book on there.
Yes, you definitely should. Because it's worth it. Ching, if you know what I mean. That was a cash register.
She's done a rap.
Yeah. No. Here comes the hot stepper.
That's the one.
Do you know if you type that into Twitter, he follows you? I'm a Kamosi, whatever his name was.
What?
In a Kamikaze. Yeah.
Yeah. If you put here comes a hot stepper, I think he's got a bot or something.
Yeah. Just says murderer.
Yeah.
That's amazing. If you don't know what song we're talking about, Google it because it's
On Spotify, you millennials.
Yeah.
You put it on your mixtapes or whatever you do.
Like this is
playlist.
What I just need something to clarify, and we'll get back to the sponsorship ad in a minute. They're used to it being terrible. So, but what's a boomer?
A boomer is someone from post-war, isn't it? So an older person.
Yeah.
Why are they called a boomer?
Baby boomers is a period of birth. You know, it's like millennial. It's about Generation X. It's like that sort of thing. It's
the
baby boomers.
The 80s for the baby boomers. I thought that. Was
No, baby boomers. I think is it 50s or 60s?
There
or
is an
like
age
that?
Range.
Yeah.
I do look forward to the day when my age group gets the piss taken out by a newer generation.
Yeah,
an equally amusing name.
All right, boomer.
Something that I did that I'm not aware of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still drinking Coke out of cans, you. Like sorry, Vince.
It's a little bit strong. And that's me saying
that. Anyway, the comics on Comic House.
Comic House.
And Kink by Stu Perrins.
He dropped it in the sponsorship ad. Unbelievable.
He's on the cold mix.
The cosplayer that doomed the Earth by Dan Harris. Santa Claus vs. the Nazi, which is excellent. Gav Mitchell, and I can't remember the chap who wrote it. Foxy Ladies, Chip McFizz, Joint Fever, The Final Lullaby, Comic House 12, Stormhaven Text Volume 1, and Seven Shades.
Yes.
All available on the app and more.
Yes.
And didn't even let me put you up there. That was smooth.
That Thank was you. Very smooth. We love you, Dan. Bloody hell, that was good. Yes, and it really is. It's fantastic value for money. It's only like £3 a month, and which is pretty cheap. We may be talking a little bit about pricing and things like that. That might come up in the discussion we're going to have in a minute.
Not only is it good value and it's cheap, and you can sell your comics for a penny or whatever it is, but the it's a little community as well.
Yeah.
There's a community feel to Comic House as well, which I like.
Yeah.
And people read your comic who are part of have also put comics on there and leave reviews. And
yeah,
I love reading reviews of people's comics.
Yeah.
If I finish the comic and I really enjoyed it, I go to the review and someone's written one and they've really enjoyed it. So that's what I got from it too.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, not only are they like just trying to get more independent comics out of there, they do make their own comics and they publish stuff.
Yeah.
We've talked about some of it on the show, but you should definitely check out what they're doing because they're definitely shining a spotlight on some independent creators, whether it be the Comic House Anthology or some of the sort of one-and-done titles or things like that.
You've got people like James McCulloch. I love James' stuff.
Yeah, James is a dude.
He's really out. I'm sorry, I'm speaking to him this week. I'm going to go to Scotland and see him, hopefully.
Oh, nice.
I love James' stuff, and he's all over that, you know.
Give his band a push. She Burns Red. They're kind of, if you want to follow their page on Facebook, you can do that.
I don't generally listen to music that's been made after 1981, but I made an exception for his band, and I really liked him, man. Really
a lot
did.
A lot of energy.
Yeah.
Talking about reviews, I left a review on Google Maps the other day, first time they've ever done it.
What?
For Borough Market. I said, I was down Borough Market.
What's happening? What's
become a little old
right
lady.
I said after a lengthy phone call with my bank manager, I said secure my funds to buy a small bread roll.
You know, because I travel about a lot, I have got a number of comedy reviews on TripAdvisor. If anyone looks me up on there,
Oh my god! Perhaps you should collect them. I tell you what,
it has occurred to me because I sit there and I get the worst food or the worst service. And I think I'm just going to sit here and write this review while I'm sitting here. And it just gets me gander up and I write this.
You should totally take some of those, right, or take all of them, collect them, you know, do a little bit of an edit, you know, make them fictional hotels or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, get some people to illustrate each one. You got a zine there.
You got a comic there, haven't you? Yeah, I've got a zine, haven't you? I think one of them said, if she had the energy to lift her eyes up, she would have seen the look on my face. It's like stuff like that. I asked for a black coffee. It came with milk, obviously. You know, they tend to sort of go onwards like that, you know.
That's
good
amazing.
Fun. Do it yourself, folks.
Time when I was trolling people on that online newspaper, like, there's that story about driving.
Oh, yeah, the one you...
I used to drive above the ridiculous low speeding level. I've never had a crash and probably never will. And the amount of downvotes, people going at you. That's a trolling. I mean, you shouldn't really do that,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But, do look up the hashtag Troll the Guardian at the moment.
Where you should definitely check out the reviews and check out more of the stuff is in Comic House.
Joe Swinson, I ate a squirrel.
So go to comichouse.com and find out more about the service and for a 14-day free trial of the app, which is well worth it. And gives back to the community as well. So that's
definitely, if you're a creator and you're not considered putting your comic on there, it's a good shout to... you can only get more eyes on the comic, and you can sell your product on the site. So give it a whirl.
And, you know, it's one of those things that we've talked about many times. It's about getting your comics into as many people's hands as possible.
Yeah.
And Comic House is a brilliant way to do it. So thank you very much for sponsoring us and putting up with us. And although we say putting up with us, we always have a laugh with them. So, yeah, it's all good stuff. But anyway... this week it's just the three of us, and this has been a show long in the pipeline. And we've got we put a little shout out just a mere couple of days before we're recording, because we're doing an early recording. And when we put a little shout out, we were inundated with a lot of comments and replies and sort of opinions, thoughts. And thank you very much to everyone. That whether it is on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, thank you for keeping the conversation going. Or, you know, because it's not just been opinions. I've seen discussions happening as well.
So yeah, there's a couple of diatribes on there, but you know.
Yeah, but basically this week is going to be us. We're just going to be talking about the year 2019. What has it been like for independent comics? You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we say. We're going to be honest, and also bear in mind there is no right, there is no wrong. These are our opinions and our experiences and everything. And certainly, we're going to read out some of the comments and opinions from like some of the listeners and people who got involved. And you can see that everyone has a different experience of the year. But we've been looking forward to tackling some of the not issues. It's topics, really, isn't it? That's what it is. There's no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, should we start with the convention topic? Because there's been a lot of people talking about that. What do you think, guys?
I think at this moment in time, at this moment in the year, that's almost the freshest one, isn't it?
I think you're right.
Because we've just come to the end, to the very end of convention season before it kicks off in February again. But if you want to start us off, Tony, then...
I've got the Twitter and Vince has got the Facebook. That's how we're going to work it. And Dan's got the comedy. So we're going to Vince put a tweet up on the Awesome Comics Podcast one. We're recording our next episode tomorrow night. How do you feel this year has been for independent comics and the community around it, the highs and the lows? So there's been, to be fair, a good mixture of both, actually. There's been a couple of people who've had a bad year, and I can understand why. On the con front, this is Tom Spark. On the con front, the MCM Village, Comic Village has improved hugely, and the Thought Bubble move was a success too, which Dave Cook seconded on MCM Comics Village. He's really impressed with the London one this year. Now, I'm going to say, for me, the second part of that, Thought Bubble was a huge success, and I'm literally only just coming down from the excitement from being there, to be fair.
Nice.
I actually had an absolute blast there, and we were talking about it the other day, and we were like, it was a real bonding experience for all the people from our company who went there. We absolutely loved it. It was really nice, and we were non-stop, Vince, weren't we? And it was non-stop comics, which was a good thing about it.
Yeah.
So I'd say that especially was one of my favorite experiences at a convention this year, I have to say.
Yeah, I will say, I think Tom brought up a good point then of like MCM and how that is. Because we've had MCM discussions in the past as well.
We
won't talk again about our experience that, like, when me and Dan were tabling there. We had the honest episode about that, and we talked about that. But overall, it just sounds like, you know, the MCM experience for indie creators is getting better. We're not necessarily talking about sales either. We're just talking about, you know, it's always going to be hard work, and it's going to be difficult, like, you know, because of travel or hotels and all this stuff, because it is such a big show. But in terms of it seems like tabling things are getting a bit easier for people, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's what it seems like to me. And me and Dan certainly experienced it. We were lugging stuff, but it was fairly easy when we did our table, wasn't it, Dan?
It wasn't much of an issue, really. Yeah. I said, apart from the sales weekend, I didn't have too much kind of to gripe about. If I'm honest.
Yeah,
I think as well, having been going to MCM since virtually the start, although I had a couple of years where I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, it's definitely moved on. It used to be prints and manga. That used to be its core. That's what you would go there for. And now it's really reached out into other areas, I think. Yeah. You're seeing much more of a variety of type of comics there now.
When I was there last, years and years ago, a table in, and it was just the bare floor. There was no carpets or sections. Great. It was just the grey floor and kind of wall hanging things, and everything was a lot harder to find. I think it's got more commercialized, but maybe not for the worse, if you know what I mean. It's kind of streamlined a little bit what it's done.
Yeah. I mean, it's still... I before Thought Bubble, I would have said this, but probably since Thought Bubble, I don't think it's the biggest one. But if you took Comic Village and the comic element out of MCM London and put it anywhere else, it would be probably the second biggest comic convention in the country.
Yeah.
You know, because it's bordering... That and Thought Bubble, I would say, are similar amounts of tables.
Yeah.
Maybe more at Thought Bubble, I'm going to say, and without seeing the numbers. But it's a big comic element to Thought Bubble, to MCM. I don't think it's the biggest element, and it's not the biggest draw by any sort of stretch.
Exactly. You can't force that, really.
I think with MCM, if you were to say MCM and Thought Bubble, they're not fighting with each other. None of these conventions are truly fighting with each other unless they're on the same day. But the MCM experience, if from an indie creator, I guess when you're tabling, you're competing against another group of fantastic sort of indie creators, but you're also competing with the multimedia aspect, you know, the people that are there to buy the toys, the people that are there to buy the shirts, the people that are there to buy the games or to see the, you know, people from films and stuff. And that's totally cool. If that's what you go there for, that's amazing. Whereas Thought Bubble, you're competing with nothing but
just fellow creators.
Amazing creators. And like, you know, it's just getting... Thought Bubble's good.
I think MCM, you can convert someone who is just there for anime. You can convert someone into buying your comic, but you don't need to convert anyone into comics at Thought Bubble, but you do need to convince them that your one is a good one to buy. It's a different element. It's a different sales thing, you know?
You might, with MCM, you might be able to sort of wheel people in purely on, you know, if they see a picture of, maybe you've done a picture of Robocop or something, and they go, "Oh, I like Robocop," and then all of a sudden you have a discussion. Whereas Thought Bubble was definitely, it felt like a very much a comics crowd.
MCM was conversion therapy for me. I know I said it when we talked about it, but to get them to come over and talk about the Hilda cartoon and convert them into buying one of our books, I had to open their eyes to the value of comics was how I was approaching it, you know?
I mean,
I was going to say with the table stuff, I feel like tabling in the future, the best way to approach it, I don't want to be sitting there not making money. Do you know what I mean? Because every con I've been to this year, I've lost money doing it. And I don't mind that, but I'd rather be sort of, if it pays for itself, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I look at kind of Charles Raymond and John Tucker, the way they're doing those kind of the quirky roulette wheel of death.
The commission of, Pikachu. Or is,
And just like, that's really quirky, because if someone came up to your table and you said, "Well, I'll do commissions for £5," most people would just be absolutely lost. They're like, "Oh, I don't know what to get." But when you're saying, like, "I draw you as a zombie for £5, or I draw you as Robocop or whatever," you got an instant in with that person. They can read that and think, "Right, yeah, I'd love to do that." Or the roulette thing, which is even a greater sort of in. Yeah. So for me, next year, I'm going to try and focus on doing something like that rather than just a generic "here's." Yeah. Like, you know, you already had the pre-made commissions. You can look and see there's a picture of Deathlock for a fiver. I want that. Here's money. Here's my picture.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe the idea of commissioning someone, they might never have done that before, and they're a bit sort of hesitant or reluctant to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what it is, though, you can never expect. You know, you never know what you're going to get at a convention.
No.
No, you can never tell. It's a weird one. Thought Bubble. Even like, we doubled our takings this year compared to last year, and you're like, you just don't know what you're walking into.
No.
You know, you can never tell, man. You really can't.
Yeah.
Like, we're at BAM on Saturday. I've done one BAM before, and you've done two. I don't know what we're going to take at that. I've still got no idea.
Yeah.
And I think with a lot of conventions as well, we still have that sort of after a convention, everyone's on the high from being at a convention.
Yeah.
And no one talks about sort of takings and like selling her comics and stuff.
Not well, some people do.
So yeah. And certainly, like, whenever I go to convention, you know, I always love being in that convention sort of scene. But I do notice sometimes sales don't necessarily represent, you know, the show. I could have great fun at a show, but I won't necessarily do well at a show. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Totally.
And there is that, you know,
We often talk about the best fun we've ever had at a convention was London Super Comic Con.
Yeah.
And we sold for shit that, didn't we?
Yeah. To be fair, no one else did either.
Yeah, no one sold. There was no customers to sell to.
Yeah.
We had an absolute fucking blast, didn't we?
Yeah. And certainly that MCM weekend, you know, I was next to Dan all weekend, and it was a great.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
We had a good Chinese with everyone, and you know, it's a blast, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, the convention scene's certainly interesting. And speaking of John Tucker on the Facebook, one of the things he mentioned. One of the pluses is the growing market of zine and print fairs is good for business, broadens the appeal of indie press without the baggage of a Comic-Con that some people may feel, especially the ones that are just happening where people are naturally congregating.
Yeah.
Like things like Cardiff Comic Carnival was a good example, as is BAM.
So, yeah, I mean, Hackney was great for us, man.
Yeah,
Hackney Zine Fair was brilliant for us.
So I feel like you've got to have the right product for those shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't take Vanguard down there, for instance. I don't think that would do particularly well just because of the crowds.
Yeah.
That's no smirch on them or what I do, but I don't think they'd be interested. But like stuff like John Tucker does, that's absolutely ideal when it straddles both.
Yeah. And there is there's different flavours, isn't there, for different shows. But certainly, like, I'm seeing more and more sort of, well, maybe it's just because I've opened my eyes to them. Maybe these things were always around. But, you know, zine and print fairs and things like that, you know, it seems like people are taking a shot on trying to organise some of these. And a lot of them are indie comic creators. I mean, much like the Cardiff Comic Carnival was a good example of it. Just like, you know, little venue in a bar, let's put some tables there.
I don't really remember that day.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you weren't feeling very well?
Yeah.
Well, you made it halfway through.
Yeah. Tony. Yeah, I did all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a year for you, Tony.
It's been a weird one. It almost died. Yeah, it's been all right. Yeah. But that near death experience was quite a nice one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a year to take stock, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So conventions. It's going to be an interesting one. I think one of the things I might as well mention it now. Next year, I'm taking a year off.
Right.
Tabling.
Apart from Troops.
Troops is already locked in. So yeah. I'll be in True Believers, but I'm not going to sort of table next year. It's
I think we're going to try for Thought Bubble, aren't we? But that's it. Even that's, I don't know. Are you or not?
Yeah. We'll try for Thought Bubble.
Oh, I hope you both come to Thought Bubble.
That's a long shot.
I'm going to be there. I want you guys.
And that's
to be
also
there.
A long time, a long ways away. But I was having, you know, I've been thinking about it for a while, and that's not to say I'm not going to turn up at conventions. I'd like to go to a couple of conventions and be there and have a walk around.
Do you know what? I think sometimes it's just worth doing the little zine ones sometimes. Hopefully there'll be one back in Bristol again. There's no expectation.
Yeah.
Take your bag in, sell some zines, leave. You know, it's like,
we've had
a lot of travel, haven't we? Yeah. You know, I mean, you stayed at mine for what, 3 nights and, you know, it's like a lot going on, isn't there? You know?
Yeah. And conventions are, you put pressure on yourself doing a convention. You do naturally. Even if you're like, I'm just going to enjoy this one. There is a certain amount of, you know, even, you know, thinking about how your table's laid out and all of this. And next year is, I want to create a bit. I want to step back. I don't want to make too many concrete plans. I don't want to do things like that. And the tabling and convention thing has been a difficult experience for me this year.
Mm.
Yeah, you've had a couple of down days. I think everyone knows we had you two guys had a bit of a fallow day, but yeah.
And that, like stupidly, that, you know, even subconsciously, you put in the back of your mind, all right, okay, after this one, this one could be the shot in the arm that I need. And then when that doesn't go as well as you hoped, even if you had a nice day, even if it doesn't, you know, because you put too many you set your bar too high, and if that happens a couple of times, it's just sort of like, oh, I'm just tired, you know.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm just a bit
I have to say, I did find Thought Bubble and Nottingham, actually. Nottingham, both those, I did find them really, really inspiring. Both of them. And it's been a different year for me. I'm not harping about me, but it's been a different year for me because I've been tabling for Nobrow.
Yeah.
And that's, there's some plans which I'll probably announce in a later show, but that's accelerating for me next year with a bit of travel and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a changed landscape for me next year. And whilst cons were always very different for me when I was with you guys, because I wasn't drawing, we rarely, you know, we might have had a comic out, but like, we didn't care. We'd paid for it already, didn't we? Do you know what I mean? We were just there to have a laugh. But the sort of, it's not a pressure, I feel, because I know our books sell, but to get there and make enough money to make it, is it going to be worthy doing it next year? You know, that sort of thing for Nobrow. Yeah. It's a different landscape for me suddenly.
Yeah.
And that has, you know, obviously, the, you know, you being with the Nobrow table has taken Tony Esmond away from the awesome
table. Yeah, I miss
table.
You guys. I miss being at the table, yeah, with so, you guys. Really,
and that's not in a negative way, because obviously it's fantastic what Tony's doing at Nobrow, but...
Yeah. Well, it's a dream come true for me, to be fair. And I know you guys accept that.
So, but it just means that the convention experience is different for us now. It is is very much different. But that's not to say that next year you might get an episode where, holy shit, Vince is on the bus up to London and he's meeting up with Dan and Tony and they're going to some event, or, you know,
we're going to Mart or something.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, guys, the end of June next year marks our 5th year anniversary.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. That's cool. Yeah, so we're gonna have to think about something to do that. You know, I'm thinking that strip club. No, we're not mentioning that, are we? Yeah. What's it, CFNM? Is that what it's called?
Oh God. Yeah. So, where'd you go after that comment?
So I go. Should we go back to the Twitter?
Yeah, go for it.
So, Tom from That Comic Smell. Now, I have to say, one of my high points of the year is getting to know Tom and Mike and Dave and all those guys from That Comic Smell, because I've been going up to Scotland. People that know me know I lost my mother, who lives in Scotland, so I've been back up and down the road to Scotland quite a lot, and I've been meeting up with those guys, and I've had an absolute blast. I'm really pleased that they're part of the community, we're part of their community, they're part of our community, whatever you want to call it. But the I have to say thanks to those guys, because they're really positive comic making comic loving people, so that's been a high point of my year. But
you've done a bit of work with Tom as well. So we're editing, kind of.
Yes. So Tom is also on board at Fair Spark Books. So him and I, so we chat up stuff. We each edit a book and we talk about stuff. And yeah, it's good.
I always find a good way to know someone is like to do some work with them.
Yeah.
Because you really get a kind of a real look at the way they hold themselves. And
yeah, and we're both sounding boards for stuff. We were only chatting about something this week. And
yeah,
and that stuff. So Tom has said the highs have been all the tremendous work that everyone has come out with. I make him right around that. Comics has been some outstanding books this year. I'm starting to see people not care as much and just get on with making comics, which is utterly fantastic. I know Dave Robertson has got that motto. He says, just do it. Yeah. That's one of his favourite mottos, and I agree with him totally around that. And then he goes on to say, although that means there isn't as much to show as far as British comics goes, it shows the bigger entities need to pull their finger out a little. So he's right. Where's 2018 is taking a little bit of a backseat these days. Yeah. You don't see it quite much, you know.
If they did a yearly con, they would have that sold out. I don't know why they don't do it.
Yeah. And he said, you need to look outside the box, set up more workshops, get more free events on the go, get more kids involved. In making, but also reading comics and using libraries. Yeah, and he's right about that. Libraries are a great resource for that. And I think the free events, like Hackney was a free event, I think that's getting the way it's going, you know? Yeah, we often talk about Oldham being similar. I must get to Oldham one day.
Yeah, same.
But there's a few cons that are sort of getting, you know...
I think, yes, that kind of... you're asking people to get in and then buy stuff when it's like a free...
Yeah.
I know there's overheads and stuff, so it's not as simple as that, but...
If you can talk, I mean, BAM's free, isn't it? BAM's free entry, isn't it, Vince?
Yeah.
So, and it brings footfall into that venue, you know, when they might not have had it. You know, there's ways of doing it, I suppose. But, there's some good points from Tom there. Yeah, that's all. What you got, V? You got anything up there?
Well, certainly, let's have a look. Let's see. Gareth Hopkins.
Ah,
lovely bloke.
Lovely bloke. One of the best. Does he listen? Of course he listens. But he said, it's felt to me that there is a slow move from glossy fight comics to something more akin to the arts. I'm hoping the two can coexist, and it's not seen as one trying to take ground from the other, though.
Yeah, that's what I worry about, and I think that's more of a London problem, to be fair. Mm. And if you go out to some of the other places, everyone's in it to win it, but I think there's a little bit of a backwards, and I have a foot in both camps, really.
Yeah.
I like both camps, and the thing I'm doing with Cliff, I think, is both camps.
Yeah.
Surely there's a market for both.
Yeah.
Like I said, you don't have to be one or the other.
It's just a delivery method, isn't it? It's not. Yeah.
I found, and maybe this is just me, but a lot more people are discovering some of, like, certainly the surreal comics, or, like, you know, the more artistic comics, the ones that some people would maybe look at and go, that's not a comic, when it is, do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
that sort of stuff. I found that a lot more people are discovering those books and enjoying them.
Yeah.
And because they're discovering them and enjoying them, they're shouting about them louder than any of the other books.
Yeah, I think you might be right, man. And one of the prime examples of that is In Waves, the book we had out. And people who may be, you know, old Marvel UK guys. I know Alistair was talking about In Waves with me and stuff. You know, and there's people who are discovering that book and realising, you know.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that.
I'm moved by
comics of all kinds.
Yeah.
You know, Petrichor is an incredibly moving book. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's so much interesting stuff out there. Mm. But it's interesting as well, the different sort of camps. I mean, Gareth is someone who sits in that pocket where he makes his wonderful sort of abstract comics. He also does a podcast about Alpha Flight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so he does both. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And I'd like to see well, it doesn't have to, but, you know, just people loving everything. Do you know what I mean? Rather than looking down.
That's the way we are,
them and us.
That's the way we are. Yeah.
You know, I love it when you see a creator who makes, you know, an autobiographical slice of life. You know, maybe quite a very sort of photocopied indie book, and they're hanging out and having a good time with someone that makes a superhero book. Do you know what I mean? It's just the community should be that. Everyone should be supporting each other. You don't have to like and read everything.
Do you know what? No. As long as it's original and a fresh take, I don't mind. I'll be interested in it, you know?
So I thought that was quite an interesting sort of a point to bring up from Gareth there, I thought. Because I've certainly noticed, and on this show we've noticed more of those sort of books. I certainly, before the show started, I wouldn't have read a lot of the stuff that.
Yeah, well, and I think next week's guest is a great example of that. There's an abstraction, but there's a sequential.
Perfect examples of, you never know what is going to really sort of touch you on a personal level when it comes to comics or graphic novels or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
I think one of the messages that we had constantly throughout this whole thing, I know. As Tony said, Tom brought this up, and I've seen it. Simon Russell, what the first thing he said on his, and this is what a lot of other people have said as well, 2019 has had a lot of really good small press and indie comics come out.
Yeah.
And that's true. I can, because of this show, I can't really judge year on year whether it's been more or less, because it seems like around this time of the year, we look back and think, Jesus Christ, a lot of great stuff came out this year. But certainly being at these shows, Thought Bubble in particular, where you just look around and think, Jesus, this is...
There's a lot.
Yeah. And the quality of the books and the printing. And I would say the presentation of comics is doing two things. And this is something that's also been brought up in the thread as well. One, books have never looked more professional. Like, people that are making them from their homes, you know.
In the most part,
yeah.
I would say everything we talk about here is in general terms.
You know, they're making it from the home. They're not necessarily doing conventions or whatever, but you can make a book, contact a printer. You could make a book as professional as what you're seeing in your Waterstones, in wherever.
If that's what you're digging, you know.
But also, more and more people are making even more DIY books and stripping back all of that, and just, you know, I'm Jones into make a few photocopy comics and get the old stapler out and just
I've done both this year I kind of like both,
and it's good to see that you know, that people are really sort of, they just want to make comics, and you can make whatever comic you want to make now.
Yeah,
which is great.
Can I counter that argument then with one of my points
for
the year? Would you mind?
No.
Are you finished with that, B?
Yeah,
are you?
Yeah,
or...
Go for it.
Yeah. So I am noticing now, and I'm mostly noticing this as a reviewer and to some element as an editor from the pictures we're getting in, is the rise of people who are deciding, for whatever reason, there seems to be a number of reasons, and probably differ per person, but stuff are deciding that they are a comics writer.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing the nuts and bolts or how to go about telling a story in a comic. I think some people see it, they decide they're a writer rather than writing something and then deciding that they've written something that makes them a writer. I think there's some people who see the scene as a sort of cool scene to be into. I think there's some people who want a TV series.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think there's some people who want a name. And I'm seeing it a lot. I'm seeing a lot of overwritten stuff. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. I'm seeing a lot of stuff where people don't understand how a panel works into another panel or a page works into another page.
If you didn't want to read that script I sent, Tony, you could have just...
I love your script. Yeah, yeah. I think it's a weird one where people, if you're going to be a playwright, you've got to know how plays work. If you're going to write, if you're going to be an artist, you've got to know how paint works. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to be a comics writer, you've got to know how a comic page works.
Yeah.
And I think people need to do some research, read some good comics, know about comics. I'm not saying you have to know the history of the fucking Defenders or, Shazam or something, but you need to know about
structure
and storytelling and things that have been done
which you can find in every genre and every medium. Yeah. There are people just like completely pushing the boundaries of what can be done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think people are doing stuff like, oh, they decide they're going to write a horror book. But they don't have something that's burning them up to tell a story about horror story. You know, I think I'm taken by people who have this idea and they extrapolate it and they run with it and they develop it and then it becomes a comic. Rather than someone just goes, wants to write a book for kids. So they, this is a book for kids. You know, I think we really need to be a writer and have something to say. I think there's not enough people with stuff to say. I want to see that edge. I want to see that grit. I want to see that insight. I want to see the beauty of the word and the beauty of the image combined. And I don't think we're getting it. I'm seeing so much that's just drab and by the numbers.
But when you say something to say, though, you're not necessarily talking about a message, are you, really? You're just If you just want to make like this fun story that is just to entertain people.
Yeah.
Make it original. Make it fun. Yeah. Make it funny.
Got to entertain.
Don't just... like copy whatever else is out there and think, what's at the moment, we will soon be getting some kind of Baby Yoda fucking stories coming out for people. Some people are thinking, I could do a story about a rabbit and it's a bit like Baby Yoda. You'll get that soon. It's whatever seems to be in the zeitgeist at the moment. I'll talk about this in my review in a minute, actually, but whatever seems to be in the zeitgeist people seem to do.
We've mentioned this before. By the time you get it round to polished and get it out there, everything's moved on. You've got to try and step away from that.
It stinks. You can tell. You know, if there's been a popular horror film about, vampires, then we'll get a load of vampire books. And it's just so boringly obvious, so please, if you're going to write comics, know about comics. They're not movies, They're not novels, they're comics, so know about them. And you don't have to be an expert, but you have to know how they work before you crack on with it. Yeah. Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with asking for advice.
No, not at all.
And if someone says to you, I don't think X works in your script, maybe X doesn't work.
Yeah.
Maybe it does, but at least take it on board and then kind of see the benefits and the pros and cons of it, definitely. I mean, one of the things I've got from, I can't remember the chap who came on, was it Hugo Boylan, the editor? That show is fantastic because he laid out what an editor does, and the editor's about bringing the book out and making it as strong as it possibly can be. And if it means adding a page in or dropping a page out, that's, for me, it's the end goal of getting it the best it can be.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of leads slightly into another point I was going to make, but people create their own legends, seemingly, at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
and this will come from another point we'll talk about in a minute that I want to bring up, but the people seem to create the legend that they're a great writer, and I'm thinking, where did this come from? Yeah,
my mum said.
You'll see who I'm talking about if you go back in the reviews this year. But like, I'm like, I speak to people and they go, "Well, it's by such and such, so it's bound to be good." And I'll say, "Have you read a comic by that person?" And they'll go, "No, no." But you know, you think that the people are making their own legends in their own lunchtimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a read and check it out.
I mean, even
with a lot of the mainstream stuff, you know, we've gone into reading comics, just go, I love everything that this person's done, and you read the comic and go, oh, that was that a disappointment? I think that was a disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone's going to disappoint someone at some point.
I do it often.
I do it every day.
What you're making is not going to please everyone.
No,
and you just got to kind of accept that. And
yeah.
Right, that's my first moan out of the way, guys.
Yeah. I would chip in about the comment about making comics. Don't beat yourself up too much if you haven't got as much comics done as you'd like to. Just try and endeavor next year.
Yeah.
It's don't put loads of shit out. Put something good out.
One page of excellence as opposed to 30 pages of
track. Yeah, yeah.
We'd all prefer that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say don't do that.
Good. Oh, V, you got one?
Right, okay, let's have a look. Matthew Bunce on the Facebook. This has been my year for discovering the indie scene. I found some great stuff.
So, I saw this one. This one was nice.
Starting with the True Believer Summer Variant Minicon last year, made me aware of Nick Prolix and Russell Mark Olsen.
Those bastards.
they are legends.
Bastards. Reading their comics and websites and so on led me here. And from hearing the podcast, I've discovered some great comics via Kickstarter and various blogs. And finally, seeing and sharing all this creativity has led me back to slowly creating comics of my own.
Yay!
Brilliant, that's Matthew. That's amazing. So,
that's what we want. That's why we're here. Yeah. That's why V decided to do this podcast and we joined in, is we wanted to get people, you know.
So far, the indie scene is win-win for me, although some print versions of indie comics can be a bit expensive, so I tend to go digital.
Oh, here we go.
Buckle up, people. No, I mean, that was a brilliant comment. Thank you for listening and jumping into the community. Already, Matthew has been won over by the amazing community that is independent comics. So, and when you've done your comics, send them to us and...
Hook a brother up.
He's brought out a couple of things there that we can riff on. Obviously, there was the price thing, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah.
He also brought up, he's discovered some great comics via Kickstarter and various blogs.
That's an interesting conversation at the moment, isn't it, Kickstarter? Because it's changing. I'm seeing some books not being funded or barely being funded that a year ago would have just rushed through.
Blasted through,
yeah.
I think maybe people were being a bit more discerning.
Yeah,
or maybe people have had their fingers burnt by the creator beforehand.
Yeah, so it was something I was talking to someone about that yesterday. But and also there's the Kickstarter. There was a bit of a sort of kickoff, wasn't it, about the anti-union thing?
Yes,
Dave Cooks mentioned it on tweet.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure, so I can't really quote it. But was it? Yeah, there was something that's kicked off. I know Nick Prolix was talking to me about it recently.
I think they basically wanted to get rid of. They didn't want unionization in Kickstarter and got rid of some people who were quite vocal about it. If memory serves.
Right, yeah, that sounds about right, man, yeah. See, it's weird, and Kickstarters are not sure things anymore, I think.
Yeah. You have to be even more savvy about what you're doing with a Kickstarter. Certainly there's going to be those amazing successes, and there's also going to be those campaigns that you back that you can't understand why this hasn't made its money and then some.
The one for me this year was Rock the God.
Yeah,
one that shocked me a bit. You got, you know, Dan Cornwall, John Wagner on a book, and the first book was outstanding, and it made it in the end, but I think it's like 104% or something like that. It wasn't much more than that, you know.
Yeah. Kickstarter, much like everything else, like conventions, is an ongoing topic on this show. It just naturally is. So we'll be keeping an eye on how Kickstarters go throughout 2020. But people just need to be a bit careful with them, because I see people jump into a Kickstarter, and as soon as I see that first pledge, and I just look at them think, what are you doing? And sometimes the total amount boggles my mind.
Very high. There was Amateur was a weird one this year. The one that Shelley Bond put out. That was a very strange one for me. A book that was mostly, it was partly reprint and was a lot of back matter, and for a very high amount. I found that
struggling to find its audience.
I
wasn't quite sure what it was aiming for. Do you know what I mean? It seemed to be a lot of comic, but some other stuff. And
maybe
my simple brain found it a bit confusing.
And there was a one page comic about how to pack your shopping. And I'm thinking, who is this for?
Another thing is your brand you. I know that sounds incredibly wanky, but if I sort of clock someone on Kickstarter being a bit naughty or not delivering their book, and then they come along, here's another Kickstarter from me. I'm like, oh, fucking ban me once, mate. I'm not going to go for that. And some people do have like reps on, I know Twitter's largely horrible, but like I said, Joe Bloggs is doing another, that could be any Joe, not making a reference to a Joe, but like he's doing another Kickstarter. He's done this before, blah, blah, blah. I don't trust him. And then there's all that shit kicking off. So do protect yourself as far as that goes.
You got to realize when you're getting that funded, I mean, won't name names, but I sent someone 50 quid about 20 months ago. And I've still got my 50 quid.
I did the Project Hoax and like did all the kind of the commission stuff, which I thought was, I really enjoyed doing that. It's fantastic. But like when I'm taking these people's money, maybe it's just the work ethic of the way we're brought up, but it's like, it's absolutely, they're getting that. By hook or by crook, they're getting that fucking comic and their rewards. So when kind of people are a bit blasé about it, really kind of, oh, fucking hell, why you got to be like that? You know what I mean?
But
I mean, Kickstarter is also, it's become invaluable to the indie scene. It totally has. So, you know, there are comics being created because of it, because anyone can go to it and, you know, certainly, and a lot of people know what they're doing with it. Andrew Richmond, local to me, actually, he's done four successful campaigns this year.
He's done four this year, isn't he?
That's brilliant.
And
he did the October Brianna one, didn't he?
Yes. You know, he's very much sort of being sensible, covering the costs he needs to. You know, also having pretty much the work done before it goes live. But then there's those creators that, you know, they just know what they're doing with Kickstarters, even though they are obviously a lot of work every time. But someone like Sarah Millman is putting out NPCT.
Because she's reliable, she's built an audience up.
Yeah, and the audience is only growing, hopefully, every time. And she's putting out a great series because of it.
And same with McCune. Stuart McCune is always my ideal person to follow on Kickstarter. And I'll buy anything he does because he builds that audience as each issue comes out. So each issue will have a raft of the older books so you can catch up. And
Brilliant.
I mean, he's just done one for a trade paperback and he's made 160% on it.
I think that's a no-brainer for an in the older comics in with it,
right, man?
I mean, you know, fucking Ryan K. Lindsay,
another one.
You pledge on any of his Kickstarters, you're going to be getting PDFs of everything he's done, basically.
It's brilliant.
Including
you get pictures
like,
of his family, get some selfies.
Dissertations that he's written about Daredevil and stuff. It's you know, there's lots of stuff.
I don't really understand. Is it Indiegogo? Because I see stuff on there, and it's like it's made its total like five times over,
and it seems
and it's still running. And
I don't understand either.
I don't know too much about Indiegogo. That's one
I call a halt to it when you want to, or I don't know.
And also, I think, and people will correct us, obviously. The Indiegogo is one that I think we should find out more about and probably discuss a bit more that because more people are going to it because, let's say, their Kickstarter doesn't get funded. Because Indiegogo, as I understand,
you get it in the money anyway.
You get the money anyway.
You get the money anyway, even if you don't make the.
And the other one I'm always confused by is Unbound. So they're a publisher who crowdfund their published books. Is that right?
Okay,
I'm
not familiar with them.
I think Unbound, and we need to talk to them at some point in the
future
as well. Unbound is a longer ongoing sort of campaign, and when your book is funded, then they sort of publish it, kind of thing. I think.
Yeah, that's how I understand it. They take They take some of it, don't they?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Because
there's some great creators doing books with Unbound, isn't there? There's Lyndon White's got one, I believe.
Nice. Oh, is he? Okay.
I think Rachel Smith's got one. Who else?
So kind of looking forward, like
lots of past guests have got one. Yeah,
flogging your comic via online stores like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, you've got to be kind of getting invested in that or keep an eye on it at least.
Yeah, I mean with the whole Chronicles, I didn't want the stress of it, man.
No.
I had some money to pay for it, so I paid for it, you know.
I've got a Kickstarter sort of ready to roll, but I keep putting off because I'm fucking like, oh, Jesus Christ. I know this is going to be a ton of work, and it's admin work, which I hate.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Stuff on Excel sheets and shit like that.
So I'm sort of co-signed into the Spark, whenever the Spark kickstarts, the last Spark. I got to see the back end, and it's interesting. Okay. And we had a weird one. We had one guy, he would pledge and take his pledge away every week.
Yeah.
That's just like bizarre. Was doing our Swedes in.
It must be a bot. Like he's expecting to get like automated rewards as soon as he pledges, and then he unpledges when he gets the rewards. But yeah, I know that used to be a shady practice that some people used to do.
Right. Okay.
But it's usually after the thing has gone through. But I think Kickstarter changed the way they did stuff. But yeah interesting.
Good. You got any more there, V?
Yes. Mark Abnett. He said that one of the highs of this year is launching his first two 30-page independently owned and financed comics, which is amazing. Every time you launch your first comics, it's like the best year ever. And so obviously his con experience, one of the things that he brought up, one of the lows is the cost of attending cons. That's something that always goes out, but like transport, accommodation and stuff. And he brought up an interesting point. He said, moving forward, I will be focusing on 50 to 60 page books once my current lineup is done. Now, that's more of a pro than a con. You know, that was just something he brought up. And he said, more value for customers and a better finished product online with the European model. Now, I think...
Yeah, I think things are going that way. Look at DC's... Is it the ink books they're putting out? Look at the stuff that's going on, man.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And that's certainly... I can see a lot more indie creators going that way, you know, taking some more time out to create larger books rather than churning out the 20 to 40 page.
And there are certain companies who I just buy the trades of. So we talked a lot about Aftershock last week. I'll just buy their trades. I'm not really into buying their single issues anymore.
Yeah.
Because I know they're sort of in and out stories, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for instance, like one of our faves, Chris Imber, you know, he's taking time out to concentrate on like, Pirates versus Knights.
Mate, by the way, Dark Ark's fucking outstanding.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Aftershock, man. Fucking amazing. What an idea.
Yeah.
Brilliant
idea.
we'll
talk about that in the future. but I think, you know, there's going to be more people taking time to work on some bigger books. It does mean that sometimes you probably won't see some work from an artist you really like for a little. You won't see a book, at least, which will make their social media presence and their Instagrams even more important, because you have to, when you're working on a bigger project, you have to keep relevant, you have to keep your work under people's eyes.
That's a problem as a writer. That's a problem for me, because artists, and we've talked about it, maybe not this year, but certainly last few years, artists need to be visible to be hired by companies. And if you're working on a book where they're maybe only doing a couple of pages a week on it, they might be putting out images from both those pages. And there's a lot of stories, especially the way I write stuff, is I don't want it spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you have to find a way to remain visible, but not putting out images of a book that you'll work for hired on, almost, you know?
It's certainly, I mean, the project I'm working on now. It was something that I wanted to show things. I wanted to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't want any spoilers. And certainly with the story itself, I know some of the... you know, the stupidly crazy things I've given myself to draw. And I'd love to show, you know, hopefully I'll be able to do some pages that I'll be really proud of. And of course you'll want to show them, but I won't be able to show them until everyone can see them. Because of the nature of it, it's going to be a web comic. So as soon as the page goes up, I'll be plastering it everywhere. But, you know.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different deal for a web comic, isn't it, sometimes?
But when you're doing a work in progress, like... I'd done a bit of a pin-up for Tony, and I showed a little bit of a work in progress. It was a work in progress. It was developed on from that, and Tony's got the final one.
Yeah.
But no one else is going to see that yet. because
And the full image of that is a big spoiler because it tells the story of what it's about, the comic, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
But the image you posted was fine. But if you exposed the rest of the top and the bottom of the rest of it, then you know,
you've got to hold something back as well. Like if someone can get the read on your comic just by the single image spoiler you posted, that you're like, oh god, I wish you hadn't done that.
Understandably, quite. It's difficult.
It's a temptation.
When you're just really excited about the work you're doing, which is a brilliant thing. If you're excited about the work you're doing, that's amazing.
Great stuff.
It's that instant hit you're going for rather than the long burn of sort of like hold it back and wait. And
there's a close thing there because you don't know, people will misinterpret certain images. Yeah. So I would say if you're working with a writer, always run it by him. Yeah. Always say, do you mind if what do you think about this? So, well, that gives that way. Or, yeah, that's fine. Or, do you know what I mean? It's like that. Yeah.
It's a movie reference, but when they showed fucking Spider-Man in the Civil War trailer, you don't do that. Fucking the audience would have gone up. If
I would have shit my pants if
Spider-Man
had
turned up. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
He would have. Yeah.
He would have.
Literal shit pants.
Soiled myself. let's do it then. So, should we do pricing?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's two areas for this that I see. We've got the Kickstarter pricing and we've got actual pricing of comics.
Yeah.
I would say Kickstarter, some people are over-egging it these days.
God, yeah.
There's some first tiers that are not necessary. Be careful, guys. Yeah. You put people off.
Yeah.
There's some very good value for money books out there, and they're the ones I will go for, you know.
There was the one I saw where I sent it on to you guys, and you mentioned it, and then, like, oh, that sounds interesting. And the first tier was, like, just give me money. And it's like, there's no glib remark or comment. It was just that, I'll just give me $5 because.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck you, man.
Help support this project.
Yeah.
You're not a charity geezer. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
You say you're selling the comic for a fiver, I buy it for a fiver and you send it to me. That's how it works.
There's that. There's that. And then, you know, sometimes. And I'll tell you what the one I've noticed this year is people are over egging the postage.
Well, how much it costs?
Yeah, there's some people putting £4 on postage and you're thinking, this is an A5 book. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you can send it via pigeon for that.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be like, top brass class, does it? Like, you know,
no.
I've sent stuff second class before and it's arrived there quicker than a first class post.
We all know how much an envelope costs and we all know how much a comic bag and a backing board cost. And, you know.
Yeah.
And the other one is, I don't think this is quite as bad as it has been, but I'm noticing certain areas of comics are overpricing. They're photocopied zines in, let's say, gosh.
Yeah, we've modern. We always, not always, but we've brought this one up, haven't we? Like,
do you remember for years, I haven't done it this year, but for years I'd take a picture of a comic and the price and send it to you guys when I discovered it in a London comic shop.
Yeah.
What? You know.
Well, it's like £6 and it's like five sides stapled together.
Yeah, it has been. That. It literally has been. Yeah.
Banged out in a photocopier.
Yeah. On your work photocopier.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pricing's such a difficult thing, isn't it? You know, when, you know, a print, you get a nice print and, you know, you could pay £5-10 for it. But a comic, and we've talked about on the show, a comic which will take longer.
Multiple images.
Multiple images. But we'll still think, well, that should be cheaper.
Yeah. it's a fucking strange
cheaper
one.
Cheaper and also competitive. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah,
because I'm sort of weighing up like book three of Vanguard. That's kind of like pretty much done, and I'm sort of looking at all the quotes, and it's like fucking hell. Like, that's when that comes out. Like, that's going to be a fair whack. I'm not going to make much money at that if I sell at that price. So I've got to find that point of the cost for what you're selling for, etc. I know that gets very boring, but
it's
one of the things I factor into.
Maybe think about adverts and things these days as well. There are people who give you a few quid for an advert in your comic and stuff. You know. It's worth considering.
Yeah,
cheapen it, you know. No. If it's an advert for something worthy.
Yeah, and also, you know, your comic is your brand and things like that. So if it's not in keeping, you know, if you want to do adverts, but it's not in keeping with
don't do your local dentist and ask. You know, it's not that. It's sort of,
but you could like get. I know Kablam when you used to print with them. If you took a Kablam ad in your comic, they'd put it even the inside front or the outside. The outside back, they'd put a Kablam advert in there and it would drop the price of your printing, not by much, but some.
Sometimes so, that looks a bit cheap, I think
it does. That's the payoff.
It's an interesting one, and to be fair, a lot of people will I often take adverts if I've got a spare page from people for free.
Yeah.
You know, if someone, if there's a comic I like, you know, I'd put a Slang Pictorial, for example. Mm. I'd put an advert in that because I think that's good and it's worthy and it's, you know, in fitting with the work I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, you know.
An ad for another comic is spot on. We did that for our comic, the ACP, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a couple of banners in that. It was for our comics.
Still. And my sex site.
just going back to the Kickstarter thing again, and like the price of comics and the price of rewards and things like that. One thing that boggles my mind is the price of a desktop wallpaper. Because I mean, these things, you know, all of the rewards, and if you can give lots of extras, that's brilliant. And like things like that are cool, you know, to get all these different extras, whether it be badges, prints, you know, digital wallpapers for your laptop or your phone or whatever. That's amazing. But some people price these things, you know, you can have the comic at one price and then the comic and a couple of digital wallpapers, and the price of a one image, which is going to be your desktop wallpaper, is almost the same price as the comic.
And I've never paid for a wallpaper for my
computer. Me neither.
No.
Who uses them?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Honestly, I've got no interest. You can just go and get an image off Google and stick that as your wallpaper, can't you?
Yeah.
I guess it's the same as the enamel pins. That I've got no interest in that, but they do great guns. I'm not sure about that. There's a crossover with the digital wallpapers on that.
What, they're like crack to me now. I've fallen down that rabbit hole.
I'm not a badge guy, but I tell you what, we've fucking sold a few of them.
Yeah,
nice. But if they're no money, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Merch is a weird one. Is are you cheapening the brand by doing merch? Are you not? Is it in keeping?
Yeah,
you know the I mean the Whore Chronicle condoms, they went down a storm.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Ripped for your pleasure.
The joke was they had all been pinpricked.
Yeah, made out of tissue paper.
the curry, the milkshake flavored lube, that was good.
Did have a shelf life, but
God,
we start getting silly.
one thing that came up in comment thread, some people said that it was I think the best way to sum it up is Steve Tanner got on the Facebook and said, "It was an interesting thread and genuinely surprised by some of the comments, as it seems I'm blissfully unaware of any British indie comic feuding. I would say I've not seen that, but I'm genuinely seeing less and less."
Yeah, the Harris said the same thing, didn't she? She said she was sort of blissfully aware as she sort of sits in a comic reading house and doesn't notice it. And
Dan Whitehead responded and he said, "Yeah, that was news to me as well. There have been some spirited debates about con etiquette for sure, but nothing class as bad blood that I've seen." I think Dan's onto something there. Certainly with the con season, everyone gets a little bit heated. Certainly us and
Well, they all complain about fucking Neil Gibson. Hard to say that.
They do. Everyone does. Yeah. We should give him a right to reply. If he wants to reply to that, then please do. But I think as I understand it, the general things I'm hearing off a couple of people, maybe four or five people, is that he tends to stand in front of their tables shilling his book. But I haven't seen that for a while with him, to be fair.
Yeah.
I haven't got a dog in the race there. I was just saying that I see all the time.
Yeah.
So
you
know, I hopefully next year, I mean, it's always good to see debating and people talking about how things could be better and stuff. I just want it to be a bit more positive. Sometimes when a lot, if an event doesn't go very well and then, you know, everyone starts cracking on social media about it, then I have a week off social media, because just reading the negativity brings you down.
Yeah, it does.
And it's just
I've done a couple of breaks this year and it's been for the better, honestly. Like, I've put the phone up on the shelf.
Me too, I have.
I'm not looking at that. And I thought, I've not missed any of this, and then before you know it, I'm fucking checking the phone every couple of minutes.
I'm finding I'm muting threads, I'm muting subjects and stuff, because they're not about comics generally, is why I tend to mute them. I want to see, like, the spinner rack is my favorite thing on Twitter at the moment, because every day, a couple times a day, they post old comics covers of Mike Zeck covers and Marvel and, you know, Wonder Woman covers from the 70s, and I absolutely love it. It's just that, it's just the heart and soul of comics for me, and I love that. Yeah. You know, but when somebody's moaning about whatever political thing or whatever, you know, I'm just not interested, man.
And we just got to take some time out to just see some more stuff that inspires you or just gets you excited, or just seeing someone really positive about something. Yeah. I mean, one example of that this week was Joe had to do a talk at her work. She had to bring in some creative stuff. She's a designer and like works in the creative field as well.
Yeah.
So everyone just had to bring something in that inspired them, and like they were talking about it. And like she brought in Stransky by Lorenzo Etherington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And,
nice.
You know, just so she, I mean, she loved the book, but she wanted to find out a little bit more about him. Went on YouTube, found a, it was when he was at the Lakes and he had that sort of gallery thing up. And he was being interviewed there. And just, it was a 15-minute chat, and you just listen to him and just think, this is just someone who just absolutely loves the medium and wants everyone else to love the medium, and just, you know, the enthusiasm and just joy for comics and art. And I was, stuff like that is like, yeah, it just made me go, yeah, we need more of that, please. I mean, they're essentially fueled by Red Bull. I don't know how they do it, but
they're nuts. Yeah.
But in a good way.
Panel I did with him at Nottingham didn't come out very well, because him and Martin were both very insightful about the image, the construction of the image. Yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah.
That's
the thing, you know, about these creators, is sometimes they seem so enthusiastic, and when you get to know them, you think, oh no, that's not just all energy. You know exactly what you're talking about.
When you see
them sort of focus in on their speciality, it's pretty amazing and pretty awe-inspiring.
Yeah. Some people need their eyes opening to how much of a craft there is going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes people bring up little angles and areas, and I'm like, right, okay, this is only improving my knowledge, and you know, I'm really interested in what they're saying there. And they'll examine something and talk about something, and the good people out there really open your eyes to stuff, and that's why we do this, isn't it?
To be fair.
You've always got to be learning and not sort of think, well, I know how to do this, because you don't. There's always someone better at you, and you can learn off them.
Yeah.
So do that.
Can I do my second moan?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure. Okay.
So it's something I brought up earlier in the year. I brought it up in May when I did the Honest Review Month, and I think it continues. I was reading, we lost Clive James this week, didn't we? And I'm a big fan of his stuff. Really enjoyed his writing, and I'm of a certain age where I remember Margarita Prakatan and all this sort of thing, you know. And he's one of these sort of very intelligent guys. And I was reading some of his TV reviews, believe it or not. And I've also just reread a book of reviews by Lester Bangs. If anyone knows Lester Bangs, he used to write for Cream magazine. He was a music journalist. And
okay.
Really interesting. And there's a real art to what they're doing. There's a real bite, but there's also a love of the medium in around to it. And I'm going to read this out. So this is the definition of what a review is. It is a critical appraisal of a book, a play, or a film. So it's a critical appraisal. Yeah. And I think we're reaching the end of proper comics criticism. I think there's two areas at the moment. People either love it or they trash it. I think, and it's still continuing. It's weird. The review month I did, it's still getting 200 to 300 reads a day on my blog. Just bizarre. Just strange. For stuff that is now 6 months old, it's still getting a lot of reviews. And I think there's a lot of comic reviewers out there, and some of them are very good. But some of them, you need to realize that you don't write a review of a comic to be popular. You don't start writing reviews of comics to be part of the scene. And you also don't review them to be notorious and horrible.
Yeah,
I think you need to write. You need to apply yourself,
and you shouldn't read them. You shouldn't do them just to get free shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people. I see it sometimes, posting about, oh, I got this swag or I got that swag. And it's just sort of like, if you get it, I want to hear you talk about it then.
Yeah, mate. I'm living that world at the moment. We're sending out some books to new reviewers, and I keep a spreadsheet around it, and dates and times that the books get reviewed, because. Yeah. A lot of people think they just deserve to be sent these books and they don't have to review them sometimes. And that's like £20 worth of book you got.
It's a fucking quid pro quo, isn't it?
Exactly. Like an example of it was last week's show. I mean, I say I don't consider myself a reviewer, but like if I recommend a book and someone, you know, checks it out or whatever. But TKO were very kindly sent me some books.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were, thankfully, they were books I was looking forward to reading anyway. and I read it, loved it. Of course it's going to be on the show. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just, it's just, you know, I
it's fucking polite at the very least.
Yeah. You know, even if it wasn't on the show, you know, I bloody post about it online and just sort of say, read this, it's amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
even when I've had a digital copy, which has cost them nothing, I feel bad if I haven't reviewed it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel sometimes. Even, yeah. I just quickly get back to where I was going with that, if you don't mind. So what I'm saying is, there's an awful lot of reviewers out there. I've heard this off at least three reviewers who told me, oh, they don't review books they don't like. So their reviews are always good. Well, then it's not a review, my friend.
Yeah.
It's a recommendation.
Which that's is what the, we do on this show.
Which is the best you can say it is. You can't say you're a reviewer. And I think there's people who want to be popular. And I think what it's creating is, so say for example, you get a book that ain't all that good. You get somebody who writes a review or two people who write a review about it and they gush about it because they don't want to fall out with the creator. And so they don't want to say anything bad and they want to remain popular and they want reads of their site. So they gush about the site. Now that creator then thinks his shit don't stink or her shit don't stink. Mm. And she doesn't learn or he doesn't learn and they don't improve. And then when they actually get a proper review, they act like a baby and they can't cope with it.
Yeah, because they've not been exposed to that.
Yeah, because somebody hasn't pointed out to them that that's badly written or that's overwriting or that's just a photograph. Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then people can't cope with it. Now, if you don't want your book reviewed, don't send it out for review is my advice to you. And if you are a reviewer, take some fucking responsibility about your role. We're not here just to give people a cuddle.
Yeah, you are. That's because I like cuddles.
Yeah, I would much hear a review that's on the level than one that just gushes about stuff all the time.
Yeah, don't be horrible. No. Just be constructive. Yeah. You know?
If I find a reviewer, and I've got to say, Tony, I really enjoy reading your reviews, and I think you're a trusted voice because you will point out stuff that's working and not.
Yeah.
But if someone's upbeat and positive all the time, it becomes a bit suspect. Not everything's great.
It's the equivalent of giving your really crap comic to your gran and her saying it's lovely, it's really lovely, darling, and giving it back. It's got about as much value as that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no value in just giving it to someone because they're going to write you a gushing review. And I've been guilty of it in the past. I'm not anymore. Yeah. But I certainly have been guilty of it in the past. And that's why I will say in my reviews, this is not a review, this is purely a recommendation. And some people, I've got a horse in the race. Some people are my friends, and I will say to them, look, I'll do a promotional piece on it, but I won't review it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I won't take it apart. And some people have said to me, would you mind, you know, doing a critical analysis of it, but not posting it? And if the people I know, sometimes I will do that. And I think that's value as well. But yeah, if you can't cope with it, then we've sent reviews out. We've had a couple of bad reviews for our comics, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
If you can't cope with it, don't send it out. Yeah. That's my one there. And I think it's improving. And I've had some very sensible conversations with, Ian from the Lakes, Ian and Nikki, loving Nikki, great, and talking about good things that happened in this community. They're part of that. Tom, Alistair Black, there's Gary Watson. We've had some very sensible conversations about this is what it is. But if you're just saying I'm not going to review books I don't like, then you're only clearly only reviewing books that are totally fucking perfect, because your reviews seem to say that they are.
Yeah.
Nobody's learning nothing at that.
Yeah.
And if someone says, well, you guys only talk about books you like, that's because, as we said, it's a recommendation section.
That's because of recommendation. I treat it slightly differently from you guys. I would do, and I understand that that's a recommendation, but that's the point of what we're saying. If you're not reviewing.
I agree.
Yeah. A quick point. Pete Watson on the Facebook. He forgot to say he set up a prominent small press section in the New Forbidden Planet in Glasgow to help showcase local talent.
Yeah, I've got to get up there. Apparently, that's a really good shop now. I mean, it was a great shop before, but Pete's really, really moved. I enjoy the company of that geezer. The Lang Walk Home was a really fucking funny experiment, which I think I'd like to see more of. Yeah.
And just to elaborate on that shop, if you're in the area. He said it's massive, because someone discussed it with him about this shop. He said just the current comics and graphic novel section take up the same floor space as the entire old shop. That's not including manga back issues and oversized editions, which all have their own sections. And they had 6,000 customers on opening day.
Whew. It's fucking busy.
Yeah. So that's not to, and that's a Forbidden Planet. Some people may, I mean, you see those
different.
Yeah.
Depends who the staff are in some film planets. Some of them are fairly sterile, aren't they? But some of them, like Glasgow one, is sort of a bit of a hub of a community. There's a couple of other shots, but yeah, there definitely is. Yeah.
And that just goes to show you can't discount something just because, like, you may think, oh, Forbidden Planet, oh, that's just toys and, like, you know, just, you don't know. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
You know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, that's a good shop, actually. I've always bought stuff. Glasgow's a good comic city, man.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to be going to Glasgow Comic Con this year. Yeah, next year, rather. Yeah, sorry. Can I just mention Tom Curry, because he's put a couple of tweets out. He's also just texted me as well to remind me of something else. But he said, and I think we probably make him right about this, the best thing about this is the community and the supportive communities, you know, we're surrounded with. I know I moan a bit, but everyone's good company, man. You know, and inspiring, and talk about comics, and the community we're in is brilliant. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
It's Skelly Bob too.
And Skelly Bob. Skelly Bob. £5.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like £20 we've just made there. So thank you very much for all the comments.
Yeah.
We really appreciate them. Yeah. I mean, personally, how has this year been? And this might get a little bit personal now, but how do you feel this year has been for you, just in general?
Do you want to go, D-Man?
Yeah, I'd say it's been kind of a bit of relatively steady. It's not. There's been a couple of down points, a couple of high points, but relatively unremarkable for me. I've got to reapproach the way I'm doing cons, or approaching how I handle myself at cons, because they're not quite working for me at the moment. Okay. So it'd be stepping back and reanalyzing what I'm doing. On the comic front, obviously, I've got that video from that chap. I've kind of moved on past that, but I've taken a couple of things that guy said and thought, you know what, I can improve in these areas, and I've been working on that and taking something from that. So it's been a bit of a mixed year for me. I wouldn't, if I was going to mark it somewhere, maybe on the negative side as opposed to the positive side. But
okay,
yeah,
onwards and upwards, my friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about you, Tony?
It's been just a really strange year for me, man.
Yeah,
I went from a job I was in for 31 years, and I'm now a pensioner. Yeah. I retired in February, for anyone that knows me. I immediately started working for Nobrow, which is, honestly, an absolute great dream come true.
Yeah.
I love that company. I love everyone at it, and it's been just a blast. And my world is exploding again next year. There's a couple of things that I'm in talks with about, and... it's been a strange one for me. I had that sort of serious illness at one point and didn't know whether I was going to make it through it. But do you know what the weird thing is about that? And I don't think I've said this on the pod before, but when I became very ill, I had just about to go to the printers, which is the Hoare Chronicles. So I remember sitting, because I'd hallucinated and I was quite ill in the hospital for a couple of weeks, but during the couple of the really bad days, I thought, if I die, everyone's going to remember me for that comic, and that's not going to work out well, because they're going to think I'm proper weird, or even more weird than I am now. And I had a sort of nervousness about that, and it was only sort of encouraged by you two guys and having read it and stuff, and some of the people working in it, and it turned out to be all right. And I'm glad that people appreciate it for what it was. And I've had, honestly, the best year in comics I've ever had. I think genuinely, I don't want to piss on anyone else's strawberries, because it's an up and down thing, but
yeah.
I've had an absolutely brilliant year. Yeah. The everyone I've worked with, and everyone who's submit, you know, given me stuff, and, you know, all my pals in comics, I've had a blast, man. I've fucking brilliant. And I'm a grumpy bastard, you know, but it's been, and it's down to you two guys. That's why it is.
Oh,
I wouldn't
thanks,
be
man.
Doing this. Like, oh, fucking, dude. I sort of reversed out of writing comics for a while, and just wrote reviews until I got in a company of you two guys, and I knew I had a couple of artists so I could get to do work for free. But I've had a great year, man. Yeah, I'm not the emotional kind of guy, but it does actually twang my old heartstrings, you know.
It has been brilliant just seeing you just write more and create more and just churn.
Yeah, no, I've written some, really had some fun writing stuff.
Yeah.
And it, and kind of people have gone with what I've liked. Cliff and Prolix and, you know, Sarah. Sarah, fucking hell, what Sarah did with that comic was just outstanding. It shows, the, you know, the value of collaboration and stuff. I'm having an absolute blast. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, good year. What about you, V?
Well, this year, much like Dan, really, it's been a strange year for me. You know, the ups and downs, and I know on a personal level, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Like, my confidence in a lot of things, and I'm not going to say any of this to get any. This is not about getting sympathy or anything like that.
Right.
But my confidence, just personally, it just went down this year. It
really did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. For my own reasons, and like, you know, my own anxieties, and.
Well, I actually think you're doing work's the best you've ever done. And I'll tell you one, I've noticed it twice in the last 2 weeks. That cover to that webcomic, I thought, fuck me, he's really great. Living that style. It's really going well. And that pin-up you did for me, which you did in like an hour. I'm like, fucking hell.
You've really come on in your style.
You have, yeah. You're proper owning it now, which I really dig, you know.
I think this is coming like at the end of the... I feel quite positive about next year, about, you know, it seems like the wheels have started to turn, and like, you know, and then, you know, getting into this new style and this new project, and just and finally taking, because I took a lot of moments to think about projects and reevaluate, as Dan said, like the way I work and what I want to do, and that included I don't think I've said this on the pod yet, but the Red Mouse from Mars is taking a hiatus. It's
right.
You know, I spent a good couple of years saying issue 4 is on the way, it's on the way, it's on the way. And certainly I started the inking of it. It was a case of like, I'm just, you know, I had done other projects, things had moved on. Creatively, I was in a different sort of headspace, and I didn't want to just, it was feeling more like a chore. I still love that, you know, I still love those characters and everything, you know, it's still in my heart, but it's not where I am right now. And it's not like 50,000 people are waiting for the next issue, you know. But you know, the story.
But the good thing about that, man, is you've taken the pressure off yourself.
Yeah.
For me, that's how I see it with you.
And I think this year was a case of having those internal pressures sort of get on top of me a bit, and you know, certainly with conventions and I've noticed one of the things that's completely sort of. If it was like a bar chart, it would just drop dramatically. Is, and people are going to be like, what, when I say it, is my, like, tabling at conventions, my convention sort of pitching and banter and things like that. Now, the reason people are probably going to say, oh, but I see you talking all the time at conventions. And it's true. You know, at Thought Bubble, I was talking all of the time at conventions. If this show did not exist, that would not happen. That's the God's honest factual truth. This show has been a blessing because people will come up, and you know, I've gotten to know a lot of people in the community, and you know, so I am always on the go. I'm switched on, and I'm talking. And it's easier to talk to someone when they come up to you and like initiate it. And when I started like selling comics, this show didn't exist, and I had the enthusiasm of launching a comic, and I was trying to grab whoever would walk past, you know, check this out, here's my comic, blah blah blah, and that has just gone down and down and down, to the point where it's quite difficult. I mean, me and Dan have like talked at when we were at MCM. I just found it really trying to get those people that don't know. Do you know what I mean? Which is always which is always the challenge for any small press creator. It's trying to get those people in. And naturally, I'm not naturally a super social person. I can probably hear Joe in the background going, fuck off, don't be stupid.
She's quite violent.
Yeah. But I'm an introvert. And that's, those sort of things are built up over this year. And like I say,
that's the thing about comics, man. We are that we follow that hobby of comics because, at least in some respects of our lives and some areas of our lives, we are introverts because it's an introverted pastime.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's the escape, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess I just needed a reboot and a reset. I think, and just like you say, take that pressure off. Completely change up the. Like what I'm doing, that's why I've decided to go just to a web comic. I'm not even. There's going to be no pressure of selling things. There's going to be.
I think I see the joy in when you do little things. You do like you do stuff that there isn't any pressure. For example, that pin up or the cover of the Hall Chronicles, or that pin up you did for the Hall Chronicles, mate. You can. I can tell. There's a thing that you and I are talking about from a completely other angle other than comics, a design thing at the moment. I know you're, as soon as my mate said it to you, I knew your head would be fucking working it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, and I think you're right, man. There's no one's going to give you our time back not doing the Red Mask. It's a good comic and I like seeing it, but do you know what I mean? We like seeing all your work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I've been oddly open and honest this time. And that's not like, oh God, it's been so hard, because I've just gotten on and made this show and made comics and, like, you know, because it's got, you know, it's all about positivity at the end of the day. But we all have these struggles. Everyone has these struggles, especially if you're a creative person. I think there's a lot of creative people out there that, you know, do struggle with a lot of things. But yeah, I just wanted to mix it up and go into 2020 just. Like with
I think you become a bit freer creatively if you begin to not worry about what people think.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we've all moved over that way a bit, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't care what people think of my comic.
Yeah,
and I don't care what people think of my writing. To be fair,
yeah,
it's not something that I worry about when I put things out in the world.
Yeah, I want to tell the story. That's what I want to tell now.
And people won't understand everything we do if you push it to such a stage. And I think if you're really in that pushing boundaries and getting a bit of, you know, something different in your book, not everyone will understand it, and they shouldn't do, and I wouldn't want them to.
Yeah.
You know, so you got, I think when you start realizing that's the case, you stop worrying about stuff, and it allows you to expand what you're doing and to extrapolate and change and get something really fucking fresh. And that's what I'm looking for all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2019 has been an interesting one, but fucking bring on 2020.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because it is one thing we know for certain, it's going to be another year of amazing indie comics. We're going to say this again at the end of year show, and in a couple of weeks, our sort of, not best of, but our favourites are probably going to blow a lot of people's minds as they did us when we read them. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that show, because we've read some absolute fucking amazing stuff this year. So, yeah. But before we get on to the shout-outs and recommendations, Dan Butcher has been...
I'm going to bow out.
God bless him. God bless him. He's been suffering.
You've been a soldier there, mate. It was about an hour ago you texted saying, I feel really shit.
Yeah.
But you've kept going. Yeah.
Let's keep tapping the mute button, the fingers hovering over the mute button on Skype.
Yeah. We all know what it's been, what it's like when you feel rough. So we're going to let Dan go and rest up. And
thanks, chaps.
Have a chicken soup and a Horlicks.
Yeah. And get into bed.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be doing.
Oh, Dan.
In that order.
Get up about 3 a.m. and go home.
Phone's blowing up from the wife. Where are you? On that bombshell. All right, then, fellas.
Bye, Dan.
See you all soon. Take care.
See you later, man. Take care.
I need to put in some sort of comedy effect there as he leaves.
Like a Billy Whiz noise.
There's somebody at the door. Oh, no. That's it. Yeah, so thank you to everyone who sent in the comments.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Yeah. I'm apologies for my ranting. It's the end of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and apologies for my confessional. But
oh, right, man, that's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I got a bit emotional, but it's fine. It's all right. You can do it, can you?
Yeah. It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Last week we had a good 5-minute conversation about your ball bag. And that was in the middle of a show that was actually pretty highbrow in spots. So,
the Cumber. The Cumber's always highbrow. Yeah, you never let you down.
Yeah. Yeah, that smooth, soulful voice. You never know what you're going to get with this show, but hopefully you get a bit of information and a good laugh. And we're going to be doing more of it. So we've got a couple of shout-outs, don't we, Tony? You got a couple?
Yeah, I've got one. So I'll just do mine first. Yeah, so watercolourbynicole.com. A new webcomic in watercolours by Nikki, our Power from the Lakes podcast.
Oh, yes.
It's what it's like to be 40 and a female. And so as 50 and a male, I enjoyed it. So I think it can be for anyone. Have a look. It's done in the sort of, I don't want to say trademark, but it's in the style that we expect from Nicole. It's sort of gentle watercolour style that she uses, that you saw in books like Leaf. Go and have a look at it. Watercolourbynicole.com. There you go.
Nice. A big shout out personally from me to H from Art92.
Oh, yeah.
Who this week she was practicing a bit of her art skills and drew my cat Bobby.
Oh, I saw that. I wondered if that was Bobby. Yeah.
The most handsome boy in Bath.
She did a great Sharknado for me. So yeah.
She's a very good artist. So if you know, I know she's getting a lot of sort of pet requests, I think. So
I sent her husband a picture of my balls.
Oh, that was nice. It's good to give back to the community, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I didn't have another shout out. You just completely stunned me.
Should we go move on to recommendations?
Yes. You've got two, haven't you?
I've got two, so I'll do my quick one first.
Yeah.
My quick one, I think you might like this, man. So I was having a little, because we recorded a couple of days ago. So for those look behind the curtain, it was only a couple of days ago since I did two recommendations then. So this is, I was having a little search on Comixology, see the little dark corners of Comixology, see what I could find. Mm-hmm. And came out on the 27th of November is American She-Wolf. Have you seen this?
No, but the name I'm already in. Go on.
Yeah, I thought you might be. So you'll be in a minute. It's a Comixology Submit one. It's a very short proof of concept one shot. Costs you 69p, featuring the first of a series of stories about female werewolves. It's produced, get this, in collaboration with Joe Dante. So he's kind of like, yeah. It's written by Lance Dobbins and Chris Millsap, pencils by Ario Murti, lettered by Keenan Reed, covered by Orlando Ardina. It's a very quick story, so it's the reason it's a very quick recommendation about a woman who is kidnapped in a sort of Middle Eastern, say Syria or somewhere like that, in a conflict. She's apparently an American soldier. She gets kidnapped after a landmine goes off, and she is being tortured. She gets tortured, she gets interrogated, she gets waterboarded. It's pretty rough on her, and she keeps saying, I've got a message for you. And they keep saying, what's the message? And at that point she transforms into a werewolf and just like rips all their guts out. So it's a fairly straightforward story. Nice. There's no fucking about in it. The art's solid. And they draw a great werewolf. The werewolf looks great. It's got that sort of very feral, bestial. It's not like just a hairy woman. It's it's a maybe Silver Bullet or something like that. Werewolf. It's done by I think it's I can't find the name of the entertainment, but don't worry about it because they haven't got a web presence yet. But if you go to Comixology, it's only 69p. I think it's in that Comixology Submit or the indie sale bit, but it's American She-Wolf. It's interesting. It's not interesting on its own because it's fairly straightforward, but it's interesting if this became like a big collection of stories about I'd love to see this story continue, to be fair, about werewolves, and it's got Joe Dante behind it, then I'm all over it.
And if you don't know the name Joe Dante, then you really need to look up some of his films, because he's the creator of my favorite werewolf film of all time, The Howling. But also the director of things like Gremlins, The Burbs.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he did that. Yeah.
He also does the raft of things he's done is amazing. But he also, check out the podcast, The Movies That Made Us. Have you heard this?
I've heard of it. I've not actually listened to it, but
It's him and, sorry, I've forgotten the name of the co-host, but they get people that make, all different types of people that make movies. And they basically talk about the movies that they, they just wanted to recommend.
He did Gremlins, didn't he? Right?
Yeah.
So I always knew he was a comics fan, because if you watch the first Gremlins, there's, I think, is it Conan 151? Mm. The kid's a comic artist, isn't he? And he's got a comic in front of him. It's a Marvel comic. And I thought, this geezer, he's on my wavelength.
He also knows everything about movies. He's like seen every movie.
Oh, is he?
If you listen to that podcast, he's the encyclopedia. Much like you're the encyclopedia of this show.
Right, he is of that. And if you watch, not directed by him, I'm sure he produced it, though. If you watch The Howling 3, Sybil Danning gets naked in it.
Well, there you go. There's a recommendation.
There you go.
Don't watch The Howling 3. Don't watch any of The Howlings after the first.
Do you want to see a good Sybil Danning move? Watch, what's that? The one about, it's like the rip-off of Star Wars. I've got it in here. It's in Spanish. It is Los Seven Magnifico del Espacio, because I couldn't get it on DVD, so I got it in the Spanish version.
It's not Battle Beyond the Stars, is it?
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of that for a minute, so I thought I'd read the Spanish one out.
God, I thought you'd know about that.
She's the Viking lady in it.
Amazing. YouTube! anyway, right.
What's yours?
The book I'm going to recommend, I've been meaning to recommend this for a couple of weeks. One of the interviews I got from Thought Bubble this year was with the Chip Collective.
Oh, yeah.
And the Chip Collective, I've got the book in front of me. Chip stands for Comics Help Inform People.
Okay.
And it's a group of artists and illustrators that have come together to create basically informative comics and sort of graphic novels and stuff like that. And I picked up their first book. At their table, they were also selling books by their creators as well. Do you know what I mean? But it's a nice sort of, much like Wine and Zine, is that sort of great collective of like creative, you know, talent. And Chip is definitely one to put on your radar as well. This is a book, which is another personal book. It was one of the ones I read first at Thought Bubble. It's a charity comic anthology raising awareness about cancer. And this is called Living with Cancer, Our Stories. And of course, as soon as I said the C word, immediately a lot of people listening immediately thought something, and you think, oh, right, okay. And it certainly says on the back of this book, cancer isn't an easy topic to talk about, but one that needs to be spoken about. And I think there's lots of us out there who, I mean, most people will probably have some sort of interaction with it at some point.
Yep.
Sadly, yes. And this is a really good book. It's a nice book as well. We're not talking about something grim and dour, but as it says on the back, whether you face a diagnosis yourself, a close friend or family member does, or you simply wish to better understand cancer and some of the effects it has, Living with Cancer, Our Stories aims to provide support through personal experiences with the disease. And basically it's an anthology that includes six stories from a variety of people that they've basically turned their stories into comics, and it also features six illustrations between each story. Straight out the bat, all profits from sales of the anthology go directly to Cancer Research UK to help fight cancer. But the book itself is it's a beautiful little book, actually, I will say. It's moving, it's personal. Certainly there were some stories that naturally brought a tear to my eye. There's stories about people that, you know, cancer survivors. You know, people that have had that experience, lost a loved one, and they're very. It's just really well told, and it really touched me in a way that I haven't. Probably of the year, this is one of the more. It's one of the books that hit me the most.
Where are they based, these people?
I think they're Scotland. I know certainly Aisling Larkin, who was one of the people I interviewed very briefly at the end of Thought Bubble. They were packing up their table, and I said, "Come on, I've been meaning to interview." So I got a couple of minute interview with her, but we need to get them on the show properly to talk about it, because I like what they're planning to do. You know, not just this book, but they're planning to do more books that will help inform, and you know, and I think it just, as we always say, it just goes to show the power of comics and the sequential medium, that you can really get across experiences and emotion, and you know, and it's also therapy for. I can tell this was quite helpful for the people making the comics as well. And there's certainly, for instance, we've got the creators here. I just want to put a shout out to them, Sarah, Julia, or Sarah, Eve Greenwood, Elliot Bolson, Jules Valera, Catriona Laird. There's Aisling Larkin, but they have like stories. The stories of each one of them. For instance, you've got like story by Naomi, story by Carly, story by Anne. So they're very
They're tribute to
And some of them are stories from people. Do you know what I mean? And then there was one that took a turn that was someone's experience as they had the disease. And when the story ended, it turns out that person sadly passed away because of the disease. And but that's not to say, you know, when I say that out loud, it's very sad, but it was beautifully told. And, you know, it's definitely a book worth seeking out. Especially if you've had some dealings with it. It's something, you know, comics that can help, comics that can inform, and like I say, all profits go directly to Cancer Research UK, and all of the creators, you can tell their heart is in every page of this. And the book itself, the contributors, you know, you've got a nice detailed sort of like list of who the creators are. So if you like these stories, or you know some of the artwork's beautiful as well, you know, lovely colors, some of them have soft palettes, some of them are slightly more sort of anime style, that, you know, lots of brilliant illustrators here. You know, every page is beautiful, actually. You know,
right,
there's not,
oh,
there's,
good,
yeah,
so know, there's a quality as well as a worthiness. Okay,
and there's even a couple of pages in the back that the making of, and they show you a couple of pages of script, which, you know, you don't normally see in a book like this, or, you know, but it's so personal, you know. And they show you the making of, like, there's some, you know, some of the lovely pin-ups. There's like a picture, like one of the pin-ups is like a sloth that's and it just says, don't rush yourself. You know, so it's, and they talk about the color schemes that went on, things like that. So it's not just personal stories, it's also, you know, positive messages for people. And I this was probably and I bought some great stuff at Thought Bubble, but this was
one that, good,
as soon as I read it, it hasn't left my mind.
Maybe get him. Well, let's get him on. Let's go. I like the idea of that, man. That mirrors a little bit in a way the real voices of people. What we did with our comic earlier this year. Yeah, no, I like that sort of thing. Okay.
So I mean, just to finish off, there's a couple of pages in the back of Cat and Ashling. It's almost like the little cartoons of themselves, just telling what Chip Collective is, and basically they developed it as an art collective. For a few reasons. One was to provide easy to read information to a wide range of audiences, information that may be rare or hard to come by otherwise. The second was to share some important stories with the world, assisted by a range of skilled artists, each using their own styles and unique takes to bring the stories to life. The third was to raise money for charities that can directly help the issues at hand. So from the looks of it, each of their books, if they're going to be talking about a certain subject, I would imagine that it will then go, you know, it will, the proceeds will go to that subject.
Good stuff.
So
good.
Definitely follow them. In the back, you can, on Facebook and Instagram at Chip Collective, and on Twitter at Chip_Collective. So follow them. They're also just really nice people. So, you know, we'll always support them.
Cool.
So that's my one. Okay, Tony.
Mine is so my main, so changing tack there. That's a difficult one to go back from. So I was mine's another one from Comixology Originals. It's Afterlift, and there's two issues out so far. It's written by, well, as we record, written by Chip Zdarsky, who I'm on side with. I like Chip's writing. I think his Daredevil stuff's exceptionally good at the moment.
He's really moved in. He was an artist to begin with, wasn't he? He's moved.
Yeah, completely. He was on Sex Criminals, and I didn't enjoy Sex Criminals as much until I kind of got, also Get His Mailer, because it's fucking hilarious.
He's someone that just does not give a fuck.
Yeah, and I like that. Don't care. I think he does a Coca-Cola review in Japan or something this week, which made me laugh. So, art by Jason Liu, colours Paris Elaine, letters Aditya Bidikar, edited by Alison O'Toole. It's a 5-issue miniseries. The first issue is currently also on sale for 69p. It's published by a company called Jams and Jellies, who currently only seem to have this on their slate, but are worth looking at. I saw this at first, and you know how you get, I mean, this has been going on for donkey's years. I remember John Wagner telling me once that he wrote scripts based on what he saw on CFAX, you know? So I think people have always written stories about, you know, an easy go-to is what we're going to write about this week, is they go to something that's, you know, popping up in the zeitgeist, or, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen comics on Trump, X Factor, fucking Brexit, Corbyn, Extinction of Grin, you know, whatever seemingly in the news, people seem to think, oh, that'd be good. And in this case, I opened it and I thought, oh, right, this is a comic about Uber, you know, about a car sharing app. But it's not.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it was one I've actually been thinking about buying, so I'm interested.
Right, okay, good. So it kind of is about Uber, but it's kind of got a lot more heart about it, and I bought it. I was like impulse bought it, and I thought, oh, is this just about Uber? And then it's not. It's more than that. So Janice Chen is a rideshare driver, similar to Uber or something similar to those sort of freelance taxi sharing apps. She should be doing more with her life. She's done, like, I think, like a business degree or something, and her mother's given her hard time. But she doesn't bother with that. She just drives this Uber about. And a big chunk of the first issue is setting up who she is and what she's about and what she likes and what she doesn't and the problems in her life. And, you know, even stuff like the packed lunch she makes and, you know, where she likes to pick people up and, oh, God, have I got to pick those people up and stuff like that. And so that you get all about her. And I really like that. I like the fact that we got to know of her before we got to the – sorry, it's been a long day. We got to the crux of what the actual story kicks in about, you know, and I kind of like that we do that. I like to know about people. So she bumps into a strange man outside of a diner and he asks her for a light and he's got a suit and she gives him a light and she's sort of momentarily intrigued and struck by him. There's an exchange of looks and you think, oh, what's that? He's definitely coming back in his story. And a few trips later, he gets into the back of a car. He's the one who's called her Uber style taxi over and he instructs her to make a stop on the way. And they stop at a house. He gets out and he walks a woman, a young girl, into the car and sits her in the back seat. And he is he's that brilliant combination of being charming yet creepy, you know, that sort of suited, reasonably good looking guy. But there's something off about him. He's strange. There's a darkness there as well. And the girl who gets in the back is a junkie. She looks like a sort of heroin addict or something like that. Mm. And this is basically she's dead and they're Ubering her to the River Styx. And that's what the story's about.
This is the book I was thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of think, yeah, I get that. That's a good little kickoff for a story. Because Chip's a good writer, he doesn't just stick with that. He extrapolates beyond. You know, I keep saying extrapolate today. I can't apologize, but he develops a story beyond that. And Janice has to think. There's that moment in it where Janice has to think about whether she's going to do the right thing. And I like the way he does this. So Janice is. We've explored Janice. We know who Janice is psychologically and motivations and her background and, you know, where she sits financially and with her family and future and background and other something. And she has to make a decision at one point in this. And it's easy doing the right thing if it doesn't affect you. You know what I mean? I think that's where we sit these days. It's easy signing a petition because, let's face it, it doesn't really affect us, does it? You know, it's easy dropping a pound into a tin in the street because it doesn't affect us, although it is doing the right thing. It's when you have to do the right thing and it has an adverse effect on you. That's when the real test comes in your life, I think. And there's a point in this where she really has to do that. It's fast paced. It's basically a car chase. It's a car because it's no spoilers because it happens in the first issue. But a load of demons start chasing her, and they're trying to escape.
Has that, doesn't it? It has a car running away from.
Oh, right. Okay. I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's going up the side of a building.
I think so. I haven't looked at it properly, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
The art's solid. It's good art. It's got a great little pace to it. Like I say, she's written very well. The demons and the mythology seems to be grabbed from different places. So a couple of the demons who are chasing them kind of look a little bit of there from maybe Chinese mythology. Obviously, the River Styx is from Greek mythology. And I'm not sure if I'm reading this right, but Damu is the name of the guy who sits in the back of the car. And there is a Mesopotamian deity who is called something similar to Damu. And he's the god of shepherds, weirdly. So I'm not sure if he's... Is there some indication that he's shepherding people? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Damuzid, I think, is the Mesopotamian god. So I did a little bit of Googling around the names and the sort of background to it. Again, what's up with the colouring, man? What's happened? Like... I think this is meant to take place at night, but sometimes the background looks red or yellow or grey or I don't know. I just think we need to apply ourselves a bit more to colouring these days. And what is it with purple everywhere? Why is everything purple? Anyway, otherwise it's great. And I really enjoyed it and I will follow it up. I bought the second issue straight away. The second issue was slightly more expensive. There's some really good flowing, well-paced, thought about dialogue, and it shows an understanding of how people converse with each other, and I really like that.
It's a title as well, and this is something that's come to light to me recently. Sarah Harris brought this up, and I found out about it.
Okay,
it's actually one of the Comixology originals.
Yes, that's right.
And those are available as part Comixology Unlimited, Kindle Unlimited, and if you've got Amazon Prime Reading. So if you have Amazon Prime, if you pay for that, then you can have access to this.
Yes, I saw she posted something about this on Facebook or something. I think, and then I made her talk me through it on my phone.
Yeah, because I need to, because I've got Prime, but I think instead of Comixology, I think you have to go through Amazon. You have to get it on your Kindle or something. Yeah,
she sent me the link. To be fair, but yeah, and it downloads all these free comics. There's some Batman on there. There's all sorts. There's loads of Star Wars stuff actually. I'm not a big Star Wars comics fan, but there's loads of Star Wars stuff.
And
on
there's
there.
Lots of Comixology originals on there. So that's worth checking out. Find out about this if you have those services, because you never know what you'll discover.
Yeah,
but I'm definitely gonna check this one out, dude. Yeah,
free comics without pirating them. Hey,
yay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
No, it's good stuff, man.
Issue 2 is the one where they're driving across a building. That's an awesome cover.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. It's good, and I really like the character. I really like everyone in it, and it's got Chip's voice, but without it being imprinted on everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that there's the cleverness that we recognise from his writing is in it, and I kind of liked it. It's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Well, there you go. Yet more great comics to check out for the week ahead, of all kinds, which is always good, and that's what this show is all about. And this show has been all about lots of different things this week, even though it was just the three of us. And and I know everyone out there is
saying, off our chest.
Yeah, we've got a lot off our chests. We bared our souls.
Yeah,
always makes me laugh when like you put our souls next to each other.
Yeah, it's like Pen Island.
Yeah. It's like there's a film on Netflix. I think it's got Robert Redford and someone. But the name will always make me laugh.
What is it?
Our Souls at Night.
Best time for them.
Yes. That's when the lion sleeps. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. Next week, as we say, next week, we're going to have our last ever solo guest. Of the show.
Of the year. Calm down, everyone.
Of the year. If it was just us three all the time, no one would listen, would they?
No. And she's got some news. Oh, don't spoil anything.
Oh, it's a she.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. You're going to have to check back in next week to find out who it is.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoyed this show. Obviously, we talked about lots of different topics and subjects, and we said a lot of creators' names. So if we've got anything wrong, or, you know, maybe, like, for instance, Indiegogo. I mean, I was waffling about something.
I don't understand it. We don't necessarily
know. And as we said from the outset, we are not factually accurate about many things. And
Mr. Hazel, I know he listens. He'll be able to tell us about it right in.
Yeah. So you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. And, you know, if we find out more about anything in general, we'll let the audience know. Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And this thread will probably go on and on.
It's loads been on this week. It's been a bit of a good week for the Facebook page, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you do Facebook and join the group, Awesome Comics Talk, there's a great community of people on there. Lots of past guests, lots of listeners, lots of people who just love comics, actually, just want to talk about comics.
Yeah.
Are on that group. And we
I've just posted something about someone needed something explaining about Watchmen. So go and have a read. It's all sorts of stuff on there.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. But there's no hard selling.
No.
Or
we don't allow that.
Or no links without any sort of interaction. We won't have any of that nonsense.
Yeah.
But what we do have is episodes on our website. awesomecomics.podbean.com. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was there on iTunes. You can subscribe and leave a review and just get the word out about the show. Likewise, if you listen to us on any networks, we love you, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What are the networks we on, Tony?
I think you'll find we're on Pod Pat the Dog Through the Letterbox.
I'm going to ask him what that actually means when we go off air.
I think we're also on Pod A Vet's Dustbin.
Well, that just sounds... I don't know why, but I just think that sounds rude.
It should be. I got it out of the Profanosaurus, that one.
Oh, God. Don't email us about that. but where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Neveronanything.blogspot.com. SOSEZOHYZ on Twitter.
You can find Dan's amazing comic...
Yep.
At vanguard.com. Vanguardcomic.com, isn't it? Yeah. And you can find him on Twitter, and I think he's on Instagram the same, actually.
He is on Instagram. I think so.
Vanguard Comic. check it out because he's absolutely
very saucy.
He's smashing it at the moment.
Yeah.
On them, we can be nice about him because he's not here. But in all seriousness, get well soon, Dan.
Feel better, Dan.
Yeah.
He was a soldier tonight. He went through it, didn't he? Because he didn't feel very well when we started.
Yeah, but he had something to say. So God damn it, he was going to say it. And he loves you all so much. He wanted to be on the show. So yes, and you can find out more about my comic at the moment at theredmousefrommars.com. The website will be changing soon, something else, and you can see more of my artwork, etc., on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo.
Yes,
and yes, stay tuned. When this episode goes live, I will actually be in another country.
You will be.
So enjoy, folks. So if you don't see me online, if you follow me online and don't wonder why I'm not talking about anything, it's because I'm not around. You're
pissed as a pudding.
Yeah. I'm probably in a dump clubbing somewhere.
Yeah.
But until...
Yeah, I'm glad everyone came and saw us yesterday. Oh, no, day before yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love you all. Have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. And just let's go into the next week really positive. Thank you for listening, and from Dan, Tony and myself,
have Pascal.
Pascal, Brian, you need to listen to the last episode to understand that reference. And as always, what do they do, Tony?
They fucking awesome.
Bye, everyone.
It makes you moist when I say it, doesn't it?
It does. Oh.
see ya. It's all right,
I tried to make this noise.
I wonder what that was.